Some are surprised when I tell them that I was 23 years old the first time I even thought about the priesthood. I wasn't close to it, it just wasn't there. But I was 23 years old studying in England, and I began to experience an incredible peace in prayer and at Mass. And part of it was how crazy and intense everything surrounding that time there was. But I found that peace in prayer and at Mass, and I longed for more of it. My soul was thirsting for it. I wanted more of what that was. And I wanted to follow wherever it led. God was drawing me to Himself, and He was opening my heart to His will with the cords of love. A couple weeks after I entered the seminary, I was visiting with a friend from college, and I was trying to explain what had happened, and the best way I could sum it up is, it's like I've fallen in love. That God has drawn me to Himself in this way. This is how God works, though, in all of our lives. This is how He draws us to Himself in our vocation, through the cords of love, the experience of peace. We're celebrating a wedding anniversary here today. 50 years. Ellen and Diana Brost, 50 years. What an incredible blessing. 2 years ago, I was at a wedding rehearsal meal. I hate wedding rehearsals because nobody wants to focus and pay attention to what you're doing because it's the last thing on their mind. Okay, you gotta go here and this and all this. But I love the meals afterward because I get to talk to the parents, the grandparents, and I get to find out what these two are really like. Enough of this, you know, whatever they tell me in marriage prep. True enough, I want to know the dirt. But I also am fishing for stuff to use in the wedding homily. And so I was at this wedding rehearsal meal 2 years ago, and the grandparents of the groom were there, and they said they had just celebrated 2 weeks before their 60th wedding anniversary. And I was like, wow, 60 years. And I asked the grandfather, I said, what's your secret? What's your secret, 60 years of marriage? He said, my secret, Father. My secret is I didn't have a clue what I was getting into. He said, if I would have known, I would have run so fast the other way. But he said, I could have never imagined how hard it would be. And I could have never imagined how good it would be. A priest friend of mine celebrated his 10th anniversary of priesthood this summer in June. He said a very similar thing. He said, 10 years of being a priest, I could have never imagined how hard it would be, but I could have never imagined how incredibly good it would be. If you would see in your marriage, in your vocation, all the many crosses you'll be asked to carry, you would turn around and run so fast as well. Even those of you who've been married for 50 years, if you'd see the crosses that would be there, you'd run from them. But then you would lose the life, the incredible life that God desires to bring from those crosses as well, when they're carried with Him. The incredible life that He will bring in and through your vocation, whether it's marriage, the religious life, the consecrated single life. God dupes us. He dupes us, and we let ourselves be duped. Because we're drawn to our vocation by love, our heart, something within it desires to lay down its life for this. I fell in love. I desired to lay down my life for, I said, everyone. Like the church. You are the church. When you're called to marriage, you do crazy things. Your heart desires, and it wants more of that experience of love that you've encountered, and it desires to lay down its life. God is duping you in a beautiful, incredible, grace-filled way. He's duping the heck out of you because he's drawing you to him. He's drawing you to this vocation with the experience of love, with that taste of peace that comes from being with this other person, from doing his will. But he's drawing you right to the cross. He's drawing you to the cross. Because that is the very heart of what love is. It's the source of love. We want peace. We want love, joy. We want more of it. But the path to that more, to that eternal joy, peace and love, is through the cross. Because that right there, the cross, that is love. That is what love is. And love is self-sacrifice. It's a death to one's ego, to one's self, for the sake of life for the other. It's laying down one's life, this beautiful desire. But the only way you can do this, because we have this desire to do this, right? And then you enter marriage and the honeymoon phase passes. The only way that we can actually do that is from receiving that love from Jesus. From learning from him what it looks like to love the other person. What it looks like to lay down your life for the other and to receive that grace from there. Otherwise, you can have a million good desires and our hearts are drawn there. But unless we follow him on the way of the cross, we can't do it. Peter, who when Jesus called him, left his nets in an instant and followed him. Peter, who last week, in response to Jesus' question, "Who do people say that I am?" he answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "You are Peter, you are rock, etus Petrus, you are the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." Peter was being drawn to Jesus by these cords of love. The good that he was experiencing and everything he saw. But now, this week, the hard. Peter hears Jesus speak that he will have to suffer. He will have to die on a cross so that he can rise. And Peter says, "God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you." Peter catches a lot of flack here. But what he's essentially saying is he's saying, "Jesus, I won't let that happen to you. I'll protect you and I'll die for you if I have to." But Jesus, out of love for him, knowing that Peter would desire to do this but doesn't know how. You remember when they arrested Jesus in the garden? Peter pulled out his sword and cut off the ear of the soldier. And Jesus said, "Put away your sword. Those who live by it will die by the sword." That's not the way of love. That's not the way of salvific, redemptive, self-sacrificial love. And Peter didn't know how at that point. He was still a sharp-edged rock because he ended up fleeing, lying, and denying Jesus 3 times before Jesus restored him. He didn't have the strength at the time. And so Jesus says to him today, "Get behind me." He says, "You are an obstacle to me." He says, "You are a skandalon," which means you are a stumbling block. You are a rock that's in my way. He calls him a rock again. But now one that is in the way of self-sacrificial love. And so he says to him out of love, get behind me. He's telling him, get behind me. Follow me. If you follow me, you will see and learn and receive from me, from the cross, the strength to lay down your life. And Peter does. And upon that foundation, Jesus builds his church. He receives the grace from the cross, which is the only thing that gave Peter, and it's the only thing that gives you strength in your vocation to live a life in which you become a living sacrifice, in which you lay down your life. The cross, that right there, is the place of love. It's the place of nuptial love. It's where we learn how to love and where we receive the grace to be able to love. Everyone, it's where your life finds its true meaning and purpose. God reveals it there. Whatever your vocation, the call of the Christian is the same. Jesus is telling us, take up your cross, follow me. How hard the Christian life is. How hard it is when it's being lived. But how incredibly good it is. This week, search your soul. Allow Jesus to search it for you. Where do you find your heart being drawn to him? Where do you experience that? Where do you find yourself and your heart resisting him, pushing away the cross? Where are those places? Name them. Speak to them. Speak to Jesus about them. Tell him in prayer. He will, from that cross, give you the grace to take up your cross and follow him. Losing your life, completely losing your life for his sake, this is where you'll find the meaning and the purpose of your life.